This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Kathy. Hey, how's it going today, Vicki?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I'm getting a little bit over the whole Zooming conference call thing, but, I always enjoy talking to you and our guests as well.
I know. One of the things that I think is funny about all this Zooming and COVID is when you have to try to look decent when you're going to get on the Zoom calls, you know, and not stand up in the middle of it if you have your nighty bottoms on or whatever. And part
right.
of that is personal care, you know.
Yes.
Just not having to throw on makeup or whatever. And so I was kind of wondering if you had a go-to during COVID that was your one beauty item that you could not live without.
Oh, for sure. I mean, mascara.
Yeah,
for sure. So I don't remember the name of it. It's Lancome, but it's like a French name, but yeah. What about you?
Oh, I would say there are days I don't even put the mascara on. Probably just a brush, to be honest. No, I mean, it's definitely been interesting. My clients and certainly my team have seen every side of me during this, but I ask you that just because of who our guest is today. I think there's one product she has that has been, there's a couple that I love, but we'll probably talk about it when we're talking with her, so I won't share what it is. I'll just let you introduce her, and then we'll get into that.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm really excited. So our next guest won the 2019 Award for Social Enterprise of the Year by the Indiana Small Business Development Center. And you know, I'm all about the social enterprise, right? So Emily Kennerk is the founder of Bitch Sticks. You heard that right, friend. A face and skincare company selling lip balms and skin products made with organic, environmentally friendly ingredients. So their line of cruelty-free lip and body balms are backed by a mission, right? Thus the social enterprise part. To awaken people to their self-worth and to encourage them to live boldly and courageously. So Bitch Sticks encourages retailers each year to nominate domestic violence awareness or sexual assault prevention programs to receive charitable support from the company, which is so cool. And so you might think that Emily is like this chemist or the scientist who's been creating, you know, working on all this stuff. But actually, her route to becoming a social entrepreneur was a little bit different than a lot of people, because Emily is a very well renowned fine artist. So she is a sculptor and a painter, and she's had a lot of exhibitions here in Indianapolis and just all over. So it's kind of cool. So how did Emily get to running this successful social enterprise? And why in the world does her product have the name Bitch in it? Aren't you excited to hear, Vicki?
I am. And what is so funny is that I also thought, I haven't met her personally, but one of my colleagues has. And it was so funny because she came back and she was like, I thought that I was going to probably meet somebody who is like really, you know, just like kind of abrupt and, you know, kind of rough around the edges. And she's like, not at all. And I could tell during our pre-interview that Emily is just a soft heart and a tender soul. So, I am dying to know how you came up with Bitch Sticks.
Yes, so welcome, Emily, and don't leave us hanging.
Oh, well, thank you, ladies, for having me on today. I really appreciate it. So it's wonderful to join you guys and talk about the word bitch. It does get people's attention. You know, the name came about in a very interesting way, in that, you know, that language, a lot of my artwork, you mentioned I was an artist, and a lot of my artwork does deal with language and things that are said to us, and how we respond to them, how to others respond to them, how the environment responds to them. And in this idea, coming up with Bitch Sticks, you know, I'd also been, you know, in academia and taught, and I was had just a few occasions where it was students would be just upset or something would happen, and they'd be like talking about it, and like they would own the shame of a word. And, you know, bitch is one of those words. Over history, it started out as it wasn't a shameful word. It was just, you know, a definition of a female dog. And then shame got attached to it almost like a magnet. And I find that interesting, that, and then as culture kind of shifts, you know, it kind of shifts back a little bit as empowerment, but it still kind of has that magnet ability of holding shame. And so I thought, what not a better word to call your company than Bitch Sticks? It's, in a way, it neutralizes a word where people don't feel like they have to own the shame of it. You know, it's attached to a lip balm, the most common everyday non-threatening object. And so for me, it was maybe a way to remind ourselves that, you know, someone may call me that for reasons to shame or to condescend or to keep someone down, but we don't have to own that. And it's on a lip balm. I mean, kind of neutralize it. So that's pretty much how the word or the company came up with its name.
Were you always going to be lip balm?
Well, actually, initially, when I first came up with the idea, I knew that I, you know, wanted to have it connected to domestic violence, sexual assault, you know, all the pieces were there. And I initially went with lipstick. But the more I got into kind of understanding really like what, you know, lipstick's kind of an aggressive thing, right, through culture, right? We think of like the bold red lipstick. And I really wanted our company to start off really with the intent that we're for everybody, you know, so, and it appeals to pretty much everyone. So we do support survivors of domestic abuse, sexual assault, men, women, children, because it is a human issue. It's just not one gender. And so kind of digging into how are all these pieces going to work together, not only in culture, but in business, there was just a lot of things that kind of came together that pointed that, oh, I should go the lip balm and body balm route. But as we've grown, we are going to introduce some color next year, which we're really excited about. So, and I think we've been around long enough where people kind of understand our mission and our vision and what we're doing. So I think that has been a great like entryway getting into cosmetics.
Well, I love your Stop Your Bitchin' product.
Thank you. Our Quit Your Bitchin', our muscle rub.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Quit Your Bitchin'. That stuff is one of my favorite things. If I have a little bit of a Zoom headache, you know, just feel like I'm going cross-eyed from back-to-back meetings, or honestly, and this is going to tell listeners a little bit more about my age, but I, you know, if I'm having a hot flash or something, I find it to be just so helpful just to rub a little on my temples or under my nose. And of course, if you get it out, you know, in a meeting or on a Zoom meeting, I mean, it always gets people just, you know, like you get the look kind of like, what is going on?
Yes. And actually, that is our number one seller out of all of our products.
Well, it
is our muscle rub. Yep. It's all organic and, you know. Oh, that's fun.
It's a great product, but it also is, I love the, you know, the organic and all that. But okay. So all that is part of being, you know, socially responsible, but the other part of your business that is makes it a social enterprise is this give back to survivors and people suffering from domestic violence. What has inspired you to have that be your give back?
Well, I think that that issue affects absolutely every single person on the earth, but they may not realize it. They may not know that their friend is going through this, or a parent had something happen, or, you know, a colleague is going through something. And it's something that, you know, we started this pre the Me Too movement, and I think things have changed definitely, but there is so much a shame attached to it. You know, it's just, and I think that's what, shame is what keeps people quiet. And I think all of us, regardless if we haven't experienced one of those things, we've experienced shame. And so I feel like anybody can identify with this. And so in putting together the company, it was a big part of the piece from the beginning. You know, I say that my company, Bitch Sticks, would not function without its social aspect, its understanding of how we're using the word bitch, and then our give back and how we function in the community. For me, I wouldn't do it if it didn't have all those parts.
What kind of impact have you had with your give back? Can you speak directly to, you know, maybe what happened in the last year with your give back?
Yeah. So exciting, you know, every year that we've, that since I've been selling, I've been able to give financially and then also individually to each of our stores. And so how we give back is that we, like you mentioned, we let our retailers nominate organizations in their local area. And that's how we find who we fund. And so with each nomination, we give our retailers basically a goodie bag with about $300 to $400 worth of product in it that they can donate to the silent auction events. And so it kind of helps the retailer out. They don't have to give something away for free. And then also it helps these organizations that they have nominated and we hope to create a great relationship with. Then at the end of our funding cycle, we review that list. And from that list, we choose an organization for a cash gift. And this last year, due to COVID, and, you know, obviously we're all tuned into the news, but a subset of COVID is that, you know, a lot of, you know, it's stay home, stay safe, stay home. Well, for a lot of people, that's not staying safe. That's not being able to flee a situation or kind of calm down the situation. And so we decided to fast track our cash gifts this year. And so we found two organizations that were in the hardest hit regions with COVID. And these organizations were still open, still doing intake. And we were able to do $20,000 to the organizations as an emergency fund. So, and it's, you know, it's just part of our mission and what we do. And we said, you know, the need is great, the need is now, and we have to act, you know, even if it's maybe a little unknown where my company will be, but that's what our mission is. And it was exciting to be able to do that. Unfortunate for the time, but we just are like, okay, this is who we are.
Do you feel like most people understand the social enterprise model?
I think I would say it is becoming, just since we started, I mean, we really started selling in 2016. And I feel like since then, it's there's been a definite shift among business owners. I think there is a trend where people are like, well, we want to add something into our company that does this. And so there is, I think, an awareness that there can be a social good attached to your company. And social enterprise, I think, has been around for a while. But I think people either think of you as for-profit or you're a non-for-profit. And they don't realize that, wow, you can do a lot of good and really kind of have an impact on other companies. Because when they hear about what you do, they get excited. And they're like, that's so neat. We'd love to do something. We're passionate about, you know, growing trees. How could we do this? And I'll say, well, this is how I've done it. And then, but there's several ways you can do it. So I think the tide is changing. And I hope so, because I think commerce is a great way to introduce, talk about, you know, social problems in a way that is not in a classroom, not on a TV set, not, you know, it's about an everyday transaction. And I think hopefully people will kind of move that way.
What's in store for BitSticks in the future?
Well, in such a great time of uncertainty and really not knowing, it's funny that you asked that question, because I think at the beginning, when everything just shut down completely, there was this moment of, okay, how do I pivot? How do I change? How do we keep this going for the next, you know, 6 months to get through this? But I will say, I'm actually thankful for this time to be, you know, scared, frustrated, I really felt like I've had the opportunity to take a deep dive into our company and really think about a vision for my company that's even larger than I knew I could have. And that's been exciting. We are pivoting. We're trying to go more. We primarily just sell to retailers. I mean, we're doing more on, you know, the idea of direct to consumer, but we're expanding our product line. And for me, my goals for the company are, how do we, yes, it's great that we can financially support these organizations, but then when we go into these communities, what else can we do to support, engage, educate? And I have always wanted to be a company that grows and employs. I think the ability to employ people, and that may not, someone may say, well, you know, you don't have a high school education or you don't have this or whatever, but I feel like my company is a perfect place. And because of my background as a teacher, and I miss that aspect of my life, I'm like, we can really make this company a great opportunity for people to learn and grow and then take their next steps in their life. And I always kind of had that in the back of my mind. But now it seems like, even though things are shut down, I feel like this is a bigger possibility the more I think about it. And that's really, I think, the direction I would like to push BitSticks.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. I love that you can take this downtime and see the good that can come from, you know, being scared and uncertain, and improve your business and improve the lives of others at the same time.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I guess I probably get it from my folks. They're always like, well, you don't know what to do. You got plenty of time to think about it. So start thinking.
Yeah, that's good advice. It has been so interesting to see really how people and businesses and nonprofits and, you know, have all use this time, and some of the, you know, obviously really negative things have come out of it, but there have been some really positive things, and what's going to continue on, you know, after hopefully this ends, you know, what things will stick and what won't they.
Right.
So a question that we generally ask our guests, Emily, is, what advice would you give to maybe another company sort of along that vein? If they were interested in saying, hey, I really want to use my business to have some impact, some broader societal impact, what advice would you give to them?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say I would hope that they would know that they will be rewarded, and it may not be in the way that everyone thinks you're rewarded, but that they should definitely do it. I think it may be on one level a harder go and a little bit of a struggle, but I think from doing and having a company that your end goal is to have a positive impact on community, it's amazing how it really it double downs on the positive impact that it gives you as a person. It kind of adds that, for me, it's added an extra drive, a little more of a refinement and focus to what I'm doing. And it it's just, it's hard, but it's really, it's the good hard work that I think is really fulfilling and meaningful in life. And I would say, I would hope that everyone would have, you know, the strength and the ability to say, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. You never know. And if anything can fail at any time, but I would say it's very impactful for the person who does it just as well.
Out of all the social entrepreneurs that I've talked to, the one thing that I hear from a lot of them is just it, you know, they've got the responsibility of running the company for their team and for their yeah. own, you know, family, but it gives them this sort of other priority to focus on yeah. that they don't want to let down the the community or the that they are impacting, attempting to impact with their social enterprise. And I would think that it would give you some more, you know, wind beneath your wings when you're trying to figure out next steps and all that. So I love that. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah. It's almost like it become so much bigger than you and not about you that it gives you, I think, a broader perspective on your company. And I think that's maybe where some of the magic can happen.
Well, Emily, we are so excited that you were a guest on our podcast, and even more excited that our listeners are going to have the chance to try out your product, because we're going to do a giveaway. So if you're listening, you might want to check out our social media networks so that you can participate in potentially being the winner of some BitSticks products.
The whole collection?
Yeah. Yes, you can have some items just like like I do. And I love them, and I'm not kidding. But for those who aren't fortunate enough to win, can you tell our listeners, Emily, how they can find out about BitSticks, potentially sell it in their own stores? Give us a little bit of background on how people can reach out to you.
They can just go to our website, which is bitchsticks.com, and that's BitSticks with an X. And there's just a... You can just contact us directly, and we can give you all the information you need to become a retailer. And then also, if you're here local in Indianapolis, Homespun downtown carries our products, and you can stop in when they have their open hours and check out some of our products. And you can always order off our website.
Well, Emily, thanks for taking time with us today. Keep up the great work. And thank you.
Well, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity. And thanks for showcasing businesses around town. We appreciate it.
So, Vicki, I always love our Taking Care in Community segment, which is sponsored by our friends at the National Bank of Indianapolis. I learned so much about people and organizations that are really dedicated to taking care in community. And we have a nomination this time for Mark and Michelle Pruitt, who are the founders of Uplands Peak Sanctuary. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're Indiana's first farmed animal sanctuary. They provide a lifelong sanctuary to formerly farmed animals, educational tours, and so much more. Their mission is to rescue and rehabilitate abused and neglected farm animals, educate the public to the benefits of a healthy vegan lifestyle, and to promote sustainability. So kind of some interesting crossover with our topic area.
Oh, yeah. No, I have not heard of them, but I love that mission. And is it something that the general public can
can go to and like visit?
Yes. Okay. Right now, I think their visiting is pretty limited.
Right.
But, they're located in a town in Indiana called Freedom, Indiana, and they describe it smack dab in the thick of animal agriculture. Co-founders Mark and Michelle believe that this is where sanctuary is needed more than anywhere, and given the opportunity to experience the sentience of farmed animals, people will be changed, and those changes will ripple out into the world. They've done a spectacular job kind of sharing their sanctuary during this COVID-19 through a lot of like Facebook Live posts, and it's really a cool organization. Their website is just beautiful too, so definitely encourage people to check it out. And thanks to Mark and Michelle for their vision and making this happen here in Indiana.
Yeah, freedom. Thank you for joining us this season on Taking Care in Business. Let's give a big thank you to Matt Sosi, our sound engineer. And also to our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for an episode next season, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to all back and bonus content episodes by doing so. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review, or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. And you can also visit our website at takingcareinbusiness.com to listen to back episodes, and we'll always take your emails at info@takingcareinbusiness.com.
We hope that you enjoyed this season's guest. We'll be back for another season, and hopefully that one will be back in the studio. Stay connected to us for updates on when that will start and to see what we're up to. And until then, take care in business.